Let's talk about dance. Tanztheater calling.
Carsten, like this, is this good?
This is okay.
I'm delighted to welcome Sam Magal, Israeli choreographer and director, who has been invited by the artistic director of the Tanztheater Wuppertal, Bettina Wagner-Bergelt, to join the restaging process of the piece With the Ship from Pimna Bausch, together with the rehearsal directors Barbara Kaufmann, Helena Picon and Julianne Stanzek. Sarah, it's actually such a beautiful name with two A's, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But is it actually from Sarah?
No, it's a completely different word.
From where? What's the context?
It means storm.
A storm?
Yes.
And what means Sarah?
Sarah is the name of one of the mothers from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And basically it has this H in the end to kind of indicate the connection to the Hebrew God, to this monotheistic religion. Yeah. My grandmother was called Sarah.
Well, that's beautiful.
She was actually called Charlotte.
Charlotte.
And they Hebrewized it to Sarah.
Okay.
I was named Sarah actually because I was born on the most stormy night in 50 years.
God.
So it's very dramatic.
The storm is coming.
Yes. And my father really loved Karl May books with like Native Americans.
Yeah.
So he decided to be influenced by the forces of nature and call me Sar.
So your family had a German background or?
Well, Austro-Hungarian.
Oh, Austro-Hungarian, yes.
Yes.
Your family, how did they come to Israel? Was it because of the war?
Yeah, so all my grandparents survived the Holocaust and the camps,
mm-hmm.
and they came to Israel. So actually they all met each other because of the war as refugees,
mm-hmm.
as they were waiting for illegal ships to come to Israel because it was the British mandate, so mm-hmm. they weren't allowed in the country. And so, yes, I'm actually a very strangely a product of the war. Yeah, so they came in 46,
mm-hmm.
they met some of them in 47, and the name was Hebrewized. So from Gluck, it mm-hmm. became Mazal,
mm-hmm.
and then the letter Zayin and the letter Gimel in Hebrew is basically the same, it's just the other way around. So my mother decided to turn the Zayin around, and it became Magal. So basically it's a complete invention to a certain extent.
What does it mean for you to be in Wuppertal, to be part of this restaging? How is it related to your work? I know that you were asked, but maybe you can describe a bit how it's connected to your own biography or own work in the sense.
Well, I could say that my path, my journey as an artist is very much connected to the kind of intensity of expression that inspired me so much in the work of Pina as a child and as a teenager and as a dance student. And so in this sense, I feel very much connected to her work. It's interesting for me now actually to think how this almost microscopic exploration of her work
mm-hmm.
in the rehearsal process, how this is influencing again, in a way, my own process of creation into the next topics that I'm about to create work around and within.
I mean, because you've worked for very privileged or very big companies, Becheva Dance Company, Bavarian State Opera, Staatsoper unter den Linden in Berlin. So how might it influence your own work?
Well, I think that right now, looking at the intensity of emotion and looking at the kind of drama and content that a single movement can create is very inspiring, especially since, you know, a lot of contemporary work that I see in Germany today, in the theater, it feels to me that people are afraid to feel, or people mm-hmm. are afraid to go into the manipulation of emotion or to extract emotion from the audience. It all stays a lot of the time in this kind of very thin kind of arousal of feelings and emotions. And then it all stays in this kind of detachment, which is very much connected to our whole relationship towards emotion as a society with, you know, the social construct of technology and internet and social networks and so on.
Do you think we have fear to feel?
Somehow, yes, because it's exposed, and if it's not just happy, then you don't get a like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's something about this kind of deep despair and depression that we all still feel, because this is part of our human mechanism and this is who we are, that is just not popular and that is denounced or that is considered uncool or irrelevant or unacceptable. And what is amazing about Pina's work is that she really went with this, you know, allowing this perception and this state of being that we are all pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially in the work of Schiff, you could see how, you know, it's such a lonely piece. There's so much sadness, deep, deep sadness and loneliness in this piece. It's mainly a compilation of solos. You know, it's so relevant for today because it feels to me that with Corona and with the lockdowns and so many people are lonely and even people in their families, in their rooms, you know, they want this attention, they want to be loved, they post all kinds of selfie videos of themselves doing all kinds of things in their, you know, between their four walls. We are all pathetic and it's wonderful,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this is something that Pina has allowed that is extremely inspiring.
And maybe it's then part of the human condition, you know, which we all feel linked to and from different ages or whatever, so that this being pathetic is not in our radar anymore because we just have to be optimized and beautiful.
Exactly.
And I know you were described coming here or being invited also as an external eye for the production. So how's it being as an artist, as an academic context or teaching in Harvard, for example, and has a very strong reflection of particular processes, how it is to be in relation with a group or maybe also with the kind of working together, which is also very strongly characterized by nostalgia.
Nostalgia is an interesting word. I think, yes, it's nostalgia, but it's also extreme dedication to this incredible artist. It moves me very deeply. Also, it's only been a week, but I feel that I have developed this deep compassion to this mm-hmm. community of Pina Baus. It's not even, I cannot see it anymore as a company. It's really a community of people. It's a group of people that have been dedicating themselves to the work for so many years. And this is a singularity. And for them to, you know, open the doors of their soul and their body to me in the rehearsal process is a very, I mean, I use the word inspiring for a lack of another one, but it's mm-hmm. it's a very inspiring experience. And I'm very grateful and thankful for that. It's an amazing experience with them.
But for example, how do you work then together? I know that Barbara and Julie and Helena are part of the team and you are also there with them. How can I imagine your collaboration or how's your input?
Basically, right now we are separated in two studios. They basically work on the movement together with other mentors. I like to call them mentors mm-hmm. or the other role givers, the older dancers of the company that are giving the roles to the younger ones that compile the final cast of the piece.
Maybe you can tell us a bit what you think you can contribute to the process.
Our aim in this rehearsal process, where we are opening the field of exploration into improvisation sessions that enable the performers to find their own story in their role and in the piece. So we are encouraging the creation of an honest and sincere, intimate relationship that each of the performers have with the material, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, whether it's inspirational, and so therefore find their sincere place in the journey of the piece as a whole and in their own journey as a singularity throughout the piece.
And you also have a rehearsal director which you're working with. How is your collaboration?
So Niamh Marienberg, that I've been working with for many years and that I brought here from Tel Aviv to share this process with me, he is working on creating a new understanding of the actual gesture, the actual movement. And I could say that we're both, in a way, sharing this kind of process of creating this intimate relationship with the piece. And then I am leading these improvisational sessions that could take, you know, between half an hour to 3 hours, no stop. And it's pretty incredible.
How can I imagine it when you do the improvisation? So you go back to the questions, or how can I see it?
Right. It's very difficult to verbalize it, since you really have to experience it in order to feel it, because it's constructed of many points of reference, many viewpoints in the room. It's also a compilation of different games, whether what leads you is the actual movement that then naturally creates a content, or whether the content leads you into the movement. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, there's always a reference to the actual space. There's always a reference to the other people around you in the room, to the other performers. There's a kinesthetic reaction, mm-hmm. which means a kind of sensorial awareness of the other bodies in the room and of your own body in the room. There's always a sensorial awareness of the soundtrack that you're giving to the room with your gesture.
Okay.
And of course, with your text as well. So I work with both their own corporal output as performers.
Yeah.
And I really like to work, especially in this process, since we're working with the movement and the material of Pina, I'm really interested in this place that is in between moving and being moved. Okay. If you look at moving, something that happens in your body when you're generating your own movement in space, something that is coming from you, from your body, from your senses, from your soul, from your emotion, from your psyche, from all of it, that is moving. When being moved is being moved by the movement of Pina that is actually moving you through space. And then to explore this space, this place, this area in between moving and being moved as a starting point.
But being moved, is it also the remembrance of the movement? Or is it just in the moment? And we're just talking about the performer, huh?
We're talking about the performer, yes, okay. And in the moment, and this possibility of exploring this mode.
Mm-hmm.
What is yours? What is Pina's? And then to be able to incorporate Pina's work fully in your body and make it your own.
So to create maybe a different understanding of the form.
Sure, you can say that.
Yeah.
But there are so many forms
to
relate to. Whether it's the spatial forms, whether it's the forms that only you as a spectator can actually see. So many times you cannot really be aware of how, as a performer, you are manipulated in this space, which is the beauty of this kind of fleeting art form that mm-hmm. we are working with. And then, of course, you know, as a performer, you're ability to manipulate the viewer to the extreme,
mm-hmm.
And the magic of the moment where you feel that it's there. And this has already been created several times in the rehearsal room, and we were all extremely moved.
But isn't it interesting that it's also through this process of remembering,
right,
that you create a different kind of connection with the people in space?
Say more.
When you then find a new relationship to this form, a new intimate relationship we were talking about, and the other performers in the space also looking for this, but also being in relation to the others, that you then also create a new communication between the dancers in space?
Yes, absolutely. And especially in a process that is improvisational, everything is allowed. It's a kind of playground. Ultimately, there are no rules, or even if there are rules, they are there to be broken. Actually, when we are getting fully into these sessions, the work really become a sort of installation in space, mm-hmm. In this place that is in between their own being as performers and the work of Pina, and the kind of blurring of the edges or the blurring of the borders.
So transgression, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. It's transgression, the sense of which could be a transformation also.
Yes. And then, you know, when we travel far with the transformation, it would be very interesting, you know, towards the end of the process, to reconstruct the transformation and the transgression back into the borders, but with a completely different notion of journey that, you know, these performers who have not done it originally, who have learned in the way of remembering, who have learned then in the way of transgression, transformation, deconstruction, back into the reconstruction.
So you basically create a new memory.
Yes, exactly. That's great. Thank you. I will use it. Yeah.
And I think it's beautiful because you have so many layers of remembering and memory, and to just accept one level which might be different and maybe to come back to the nostalgia. I mean, it would be just one layer of memory. What do you think?
Possibly. And which is very subjective.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
But for example, now to say this might work, you know, so the deconstruction, creating new memory could work with the group so that you experience this new memory. How could you see it to bring it back to the piece?
Then it's just there.
Okay.
Then it's very simply there without any form of force. Mm-hmm. And then when the performer will go for it with simplicity and without force, then something magical happens. For me. Mm-hmm.
But is it just not a kind of catalysator for creating new possibilities?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, what was magical, you know, when I see the old videos of the work, I could feel this kind of effortlessness, this kind of nonchalant, this kind of letting go of the ego that the mm-hmm. performers had, this kind of compassionate giving that is an incredible quality or an incredible nostalgic memory, perhaps, that would be interesting to re-explore, of course, in the context of today, with people of today, with performers that have not been there in that time. I mean, it's all very fascinating questions of how to do it, you know, and it's an experiment for us as well. It's an experiment for me as well. These are very interesting questions. I mean, we are thinking about it methodically of how do you revive contemporary dance works that have somehow died or that the creator that have created them is no longer there.
If you're just creating a new kind of constellation, new relationship, with what you just said, with people in the room and having this transgression and transformation, you create an option. And so it's an option to forget or let go the things which I thought this is how it is. So the past, maybe the nostalgic past.
Actually, no. Okay. I don't want them to forget. Mm-hmm. It's such a vital and important layer. The knowledge that they have been given by the people that were there is precious. It's a treasure that they have. You know, they have this incredible work and they have this incredible knowledge from the original people that were there, which is so rare mm-hmm. and so amazing. And this is a very important layer in their new construct of their path through the piece and their relationship with the character. So this is actually the first thing that I'm asking. What is the knowledge that you have been given for this role, before they even start to do anything? How far have you gone with your own journey and your own story in the piece, and how these two stories and relationships are relating? It's a vital moment in this process.
How do you think this will also arrive at the spectators?
I don't know. I think that the work and the actions and the set, they are very specific. It has a very definite story behind it. I mean, of course, people can have their different stories from watching it, from being affected by it. Whether it's today or whether it belongs to then, there is something timeless about the work of Pina generally, mm-hmm. because it's dealing with such a deep human mechanism. I'm not changing anything about the original set. I'm not changing anything about the costumes. I'm not changing anything about the movement. I'm not even really changing anything about the timing of transitions between the solos on stage or the duets or trios or group sequences and so on. It's really about reviving the feeling, reviving the attention to detail. It's about choosing different points of view and focus in this journey. It's about attempting to get closer to the essence of the original and the essence of yourself as a performer in the piece, and to find your own relation and your own story. These are nuances that could create in the audience either identification and empathy or not. You know, so of course, what I'm trying to attempt is, yes, to bring it closer to people today. And it fits very much for today, as I said before, this corona, you know, this solitude, this loneliness, this sadness that everyone is experiencing today that is so much in the piece. And then, of course, there's a ship and there are all these people scattered on the sand. It's very much connected to refugees today.
Yes.
Yes, I could say that the piece is still very relevant for today. And yes, it has this kind of timeless sensation to it.
Do you want to make the dancers and but also the audience maybe to feel stronger in the sense of to create a different relationship to their own journey or to their own intimate journey?
That's what we're doing, yes.
What would you wish yourself or the company or the people you're working with for this process?
A smooth sailing with the ship. True joy of the process. Learning to accept the other's good qualities. Learning to accept the other's mistakes. Learning to observe and view without judgment. Learning to accept positive thoughts and ruminating about the work, the feeling of a collective that is creating this journey, tenderness and sensitivity towards the work and each other, and fearlessness of going to the edges and allowing yourself as a performer to be completely free.
Is it also what you wish for the work of Pina Bausch in general?
Yes, I think it would be interesting to think methodically about the other works that are being revived in a way of how do you approach it? How do you go about it? How do you create a new context for its revival? Because it's a different process to be the one that was there with Pina and that has created the work together with Pina. And it's a different process that now it's being revived with people that were not there. And they need to create a new memory for themselves in the piece. Yeah.
Do you think memory can be exclusive?
Sure, but it can also be inclusive if you choose to. I guess you would not have to share everything as long as you would allow someone else to create their own exclusive memory. Yeah.
Okay, Sarah. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you, guys. Have a great day.